see streets in town.
Okay, we're good?
Yes.
I'd like to call the March 26th meeting of Landmarks Preservation Commission to order. First on the agenda is roll call. Luke York, Chair. Chris Granville is here. Jonah Jensen is here. Daniel Rahi is here. James Steele is here. And Jeff Williams is here. Lisa Schlosser is not here yet. Our two ex officios, Ross Buffington and Marshall McClintock, are also here. Number 3A, nominations for the former registration of historic places. Carolyn Swell. Could we have Ruben give his report first?
Okay, I'll briefly get on staff report. So just for the record, this is the preliminary meeting on the nomination to the Register of Historic Places. Tacoma Register listing follows procedures defined in 1307.050, and it consists of a minimum of two separate commission meetings. The initial meeting determines whether the property meets the threshold criteria in the ordinance for agent integrity, and if the commission finds that those are met, then the commission may move to have the nomination scheduled for a public hearing and comment period, at which time the public may enter comments into the record for consideration. Following this period, the commission may deliberate on the nomination for up to 45 days before recommending the city council listing on the register or denying the nomination. So the purpose of this review is to determine whether the nominated property meets the threshold criteria and should be scheduled for public testimony. This is 2324 South C Street. The Tacoma Municipal Barn, commonly known as the City Shops and Stables, was designed by city engineer Wilbur Brawley as a stable building to house city-owned horses and wagons, street maintenance operations, and facilities for other tasks. Opened in 1910, it has continuously housed city operations since. The Municipal Barn embodies a transitional period between horse-dominated transportation and automobiles, and is a rare example of a craftsman-style concrete building. It is owned by the City of Tacoma and is a subject, along with several adjacent city-owned properties, of the current request for proposals. It is nominated under the following criteria. A, associated with events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our society, for its broad contributions to Tacoma's municipal development as an operations facility in the early part of the 20th century. C, embodies the distinctive characteristics of a type, period, or method of construction, or represents the work of a master, or possesses high artistic values, or represents a significant and distinguishable entity whose components may lack individual distinction, as a rare example of industrial, commercial, craftsman style architecture. Criterion E, part of, adjacent to, or related to an existing or proposed historic district, square, park, or other distinctive area, because it is located in a historically significant industrial area of the city and is also adjacent to the Union Station Warehouse Historic District. And F, owing to its unique location or singular physical characteristics, represents an established and familiar visual feature of the neighborhood or city as a visually unique building due to its architectural style and character in the industrial area. The requested action is to determine whether the property nominated appears to meet the threshold criteria for nomination, and if so, schedule it for a public hearing. The effects of the nomination, future changes to the exterior, will require the approval of the Landmarks Commission prior to those changes being made to ensure historical and architectural appropriateness. That unnecessary demolition of properties listed on the Tacoma Register of Historic Places is strongly discouraged by municipal code and also requires approval of the commission. And future renovations of properties listed on the register may qualify for special tax valuation property incentive. The threshold criteria include that the property is at least 50 years of age at the time of nomination, and that it retains integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, and feeling in association such that it is able to convey its historic, cultural, or architectural significance. The staff's analysis was built in 1910. It has been minimally altered on the exterior, and based on the above, the property appears to meet the threshold criteria for agent integrity. Thank you.
Dr. Swell, would you like to add the staff report?
So there's sort of it's a cropped version, but you can see it a little bit bigger. That was, if you can see the whole image, and it's in your packet, it continues on the left, and it shows everyone associated with the city maintenance around 1910. There are a lot of horses in that picture, and I'm going to assume that most of them were stabled there at the barn. So Ruben's gone over some of this. Constructed in 1910, craftsman style, made from fireproof concrete, which they like to make a very big point of in the publications. It was designed by the city engineer. We have blueprints. They are in your packet. It is an unusual landmark in a neighborhood that was identified as historically significant by a National Park Service survey in 1979. And even though the National Park Service did the survey, published the information, the city did not act on a lot of that information. You can still find the publication at the library. It's been on the shelf for a while. This barn was placed on the Washington State Heritage Barn Register beginning of this year, 2014. And for more than a century, it served Tacoma's street maintenance needs. So after reviewing, I believe it meets criterion A, that it showcases municipal development in the past century and how that has changed. Criterion C, an example of a unique and uncommon craftsman style, not only a commercial building, but a concrete craftsman commercial building and barn. We might have the only one in the world on that one if you add all three together. Criterion E, it is adjacent to the Union Depot Warehouse District, and the surrounding neighborhood, again, was identified as historically significant back in 79. And Criterion F, it is an established visual landmark in the neighborhood. So for A, there's a host of pictures in the nomination that show this building all the way from shortly after construction to now. And each time, you know, it clearly is serving the street maintenance needs. Very little has changed. Under architectural style, it's interesting. It retains a lot of its integrity. It has some really unusual details because it's a barn. So it has sliding barn doors, but some of them are arched. And yet there is the craftsman roof pitch, the craftsman overhang, the knee brackets. It's a really interesting example of its style. And criteria E and F, you can't miss it if you're in that particular area of town. It is clearly unique. It is clearly a landmark. I remember the first time I saw it, I sort of drove by and was like, what is that? Because it just doesn't look like a warehouse. It's clearly not a residence. And that's because it's a barn. And I won't read you everything in the nomination, but it was a lot of fun to research, particularly when they talked about the horses that live there and the resident goat named Billy, that was the mascot for the barn, apparently. And as an aside note, for those of you that were around when the Wedge nomination went through, you may remember Silas Nelson's house in the Wedge, and there was a reference to his son liking to sweep the street and was so intent on sweeping his section of the street that the city maintenance workers brought him his own special broom. And I remember at the time wondering, how did they find a child-sized broom? Well, now I know they made him one in the barn because they had broom-making facilities here. And the city, instead of ordering brooms, they had their own made. And so now the mystery of the child-sized sweep broom, street-sweeping broom, now we know where it came from. So we should amend, you should add something in that Wedge nomination. So now we know, and you can tell the owners of that house, you know, which I thought was sort of an interesting detail. So that is it on the images, but if you've got any questions or anything you'd like clarified, I'd be glad to give it a try.
One of the things that puzzled me, and I don't know that you found anything in the documentation about it, but that the horses were upstairs,
mm-hmm.
which, given the way horses operate, would suggest to me there might be some problems.
Yeah, I have no answer for that, because that was the first thing that crossed my mind. I thought I was misreading the primary source documents, and then when I found the blueprints, I'm like, no, the horses were upstairs. And the flooring, under integrity, I've got some pictures. That is the upstairs that you see there in the upper right. That is the barn floor. And I've been told that in some areas it still really smells quite like a barn floor. And then what's interesting is they didn't just have to worry about the animals. Apparently the maintenance workers could be challenging at times too. So that concrete that you see on the lower picture, it says, commit no nuisance along this wall, use the toilet. And that's on the main floor. And that clearly has been there for some time. And I was kind of surprised that was still there. It, in many ways, definitely is a barn and has been treated as such. But no, I can't answer. I mean, because I thought maybe they kept both the horses and the wagons up there, but I got the impression that some documents indicated some of the wagons were on the main floor. But they also, they had blacksmiths, some stuff in there at one time, and I'm wondering if just those types of things they wanted on the main floor where they could have concrete, and that may have been a fire hazard issue and they just didn't want to have that upstairs, but I would love to know the answer.
Well, I mean, you see it on the East Coast. They had, you know, they would keep the carriages and the equipment that the horses would pull on the main floor because it was much easier to get the horses to just walk up the
ramps
as opposed to trying to maneuver all the equipment and stuff.
Yeah, but those are bank barns. And this isn't a bank
barn.
Right,
that's true.
I mean, they ramped it. It's this weird
design. True.
So there's a portion of the building that's not being landmarked.
No, the ramps, there are photos in your packet. I don't have them on display. The ramps on the back, because those are post-World War II, the original ramps are gone. The ramping that's there now doesn't really add anything to the building. And I was also trying to be reasonable and keep in mind, if someone purchases this, are they going to leave those ramps there? Depends on the use of the building, and I thought, you know, the historic significance of the building is not in those post-World War II ramps, and I didn't want a potential owner to be hamstrung by having to keep those on the building.
The big 6x6 shaft on the side came and went. It wasn't there originally, and is no longer there. Do you have any idea what that was
for? That was for drying hoses, and it's still there.
It is still there?
Yeah,
okay.
It's still there. And I remember asking about it, and I don't remember off the top of my head what the date was, but it was added a little bit later. Yeah, but it's, I talked to some people that remembered it being used for drawing houses.
Okay.
And the city's just currently using this as storage, primarily?
No, it's still used for city maintenance.
It is, okay.
Yes, they would love a brand new shiny building that can consolidate their parts better, because the building is not designed for current needs and current equipment, which is why the handful of changes that you see with some windows that have been changed out on one side were to accommodate moving a carpentry shop upstairs and some very large hoods that go with that to ventilate. Yeah, they are still all in there.
Any other comments, questions? Anyone care to entertain a motion? Schedules for public hearing. Go ahead.
I move that Landmarks Preservation Commission adopt the analysis as findings and schedule on Tacoma Municipal Barn nomination for public hearing and future consideration.
Second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We schedule for public hearing. Thank you.
Another building. So I'll go ahead and planning on setting that date for April 23rd. Time and so we'll begin the notice process for that.
Can I pull my, I don't want to mess up your computer. Can I pull my?
Go ahead. Item 4A, 1239 East 54th Street, Henderson Homestead. Mr. Williams, you want to come to the table and see you. Staff report first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the commission is familiar with this already. This is 1239 East 54th Street, known as the Hendrickson Homestead. This is a request from the owner of the property that's contained in the packet to remove the property from the Tacoma Historic Register. The homestead property was designated on November 12, 2011, and it's a 1.4 acre portion of a historic homestead that was originally settled in 1922 as a homestead farm. The farm was originally nearly shy of 5 acres, and was designated with the existing Craftsman-style house, garage, and barn. In the fall of 2012, the owner requested feedback on a proposal to subdivide and develop a significant portion of the open space due to unforeseen financial concerns. On May 13th, following a public hearing, this commission forwarded a recommendation to City Council to change the boundaries of the historic designation, leaving approximately 1.4 acres under historic designation, and removing the designation from the remaining portion of the property in order to allow the subdivision to occur. The entire property is currently for sale. Under the City of Tacoma Land Use Regulations, the property can only be replatted once every 5 years, thus making it infeasible to subdivide the property into two parcels and then sell the remainder to be replatted into residential lots. On February 26th of this year, the commission was briefed on a proposal to plat the open space in the site for residential development, which would significantly encroach on the remaining historic area. The prospective buyers requested feedback, including whether the commission would support another change to the historic boundaries or permit development in historically designated areas. It was noted that the owner needs to sell the property for health-related and financial reasons. During this discussion, it was suggested that due to the many discussions about the property and the difficulty of the situation, that it may be more appropriate to submit a request for removal from the historic register rather than request another boundary change, which would further diminish the historic integrity of the homestead character. This request is written and made on the basis of economic hardship under the economic hardship criteria listed at 1305.047F. The action requested is to set a date for public hearing to receive comment on the proposed removal from the register of historic places. Rescission requires the following procedures outlined in the municipal code: that a written request from the property owner or city council or a direct resolution by this commission to initiate the process. The request should state the reasons why, under the criteria outlined in 1307.055, the property should be removed from the register. When this request is received, the commission shall schedule a public hearing within 60 days to receive comment. So the analysis, this property is a city landmark, was added in November 2011 as an example of an early 20th century homestead in Tacoma, also for its vernacular architecture and its first association with the immigrant experience in Tacoma. On December 18th, 2013, the council voted to amend the boundaries of the designated area as recommended by the Landmarks Commission to allow for development of the open space area while maintaining a 1.4 acre area around the existing structures. Item 3, the owner has subsequently been unable to sell the property. Item 4, the owner has submitted a written request as required by the municipal code for removal from the historic register and has stated the economic hardship as the basis for the request. Since the request has been received and it outlines the reasons why, staff recommends setting a public hearing date for April 23rd, 2014 to receive comments on this. And that concludes my staff report.
Williams, do you want to add anything to this?
I don't have anything to add at this time.
Okay. Questions or comments from the commission?
I can say that by setting the public hearing date, that's the requirement of the code when the request comes in. The request has been formally made, and the commission, by setting the public hearing date, is not making any decision at this time, but is doing what the code directs, which is the next step to send out notice and invite public comment and comment to neighbors. After the public hearing, the commission will review the criteria and review any comments that have been received and then make a recommendation to City Council.
So at this point, we don't even really need to have a vote on anything. We just simply need to set it.
Set the vote to schedule the public hearing.
I would like to say one thing. I would like everyone to get a chance to read Carol's declaration. She hasn't been able to come the last couple times you guys have met. This is coming under her. The property's been discussed a lot, and so this will give a better understanding as to why, you know, what's going on with her health, what's going on with her
everybody,
situation.
Everybody should have received that.
Okay, right. So Mr. Williams, are you here as her representative, or I'm not sure
yes.
what your position is?
Yes.
Okay.
The notification procedure would be the same as for any other property being proposed for listing, and that the neighbors up to 400 feet away would get a written notification of some
correct.
Sort.
Correct. And we publish a notice in the newspaper. We'd send notice to a 400-foot radius, and then we have a standard notice list that is maintained by people who have requested to be notified of the commission business, and would also receive that too. So it's probably about 400 and so people that would got that distribution list as well.
So I got another question. is the so 13.05.47 lists a whole set of information that needs to be submitted. And the applicant's letter does not contain all that information. So my question is whether would the commission be expecting at the public hearing to see additional documentation?
Let me catch up with you really quick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What portion specifically does it not contain?
The request that I, in, is the criteria for the request in 1307.055 in the rescission section is fairly open-ended, but it says the request must be made in writing and it must reference the reasons why. And so in my view, I mean, the commission can certainly request additional information to establish a basis for evaluating that request, but to initiate the process, the written request and the affidavit submitted by the owner with her is sufficient.
I understand that what she's done so far is sufficient to initiate the process, but the list of information that's the economic evidence that it says in item 8 shall be provided, is the amount paid for the property, the date of purchase, the party from whom the purchase, cost of any improvements since purchase, assessed value of the land and improvements thereon, real estate taxes for the previous 2 years, annual debt service, all appraisals obtained within the previous 5 years, and so on. So there's a range of information that's specified as being part of the economic evidence that the commission is supposed to review for this.
I understand what you're saying. One of the confusing things about this code is that it anticipates that someone's going to make a request out of the certificate of approval process, meaning that someone's going to request an architectural change. Mm-hmm. and then be denied or make an argument that they have to, you know, use a vinyl window or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they can't do that. And so then they have to say, well, we don't have enough income flow or some whatever on this property. And so that's sort of the gray area I'm working with. She's making a flat-out argument that I must sell this property. And so I guess what I will say is that I will work with the owner and her representative to gain this information as much as we can. And
my point is solely about just completeness.
Sure.
So that the commission can actually reasonably make the claim that it did the proper assessment and so on.
Okay.
So that's the reason that I raised the point.
The other thing that that I think is worthwhile consideration for this commission too is under the criteria for rescission is consideration of whether or not in this particular situation that retention of the property furthers the purpose of the preservation ordinance, which is a discretionary determination that the commission can also make. So I will, as we move towards a public hearing, put that out there for thought. Given the situation which it is, which, I mean, she does talk a little bit about, in her statement, about the significance and the significance because the land has been reduced and so on, that in the situation where it was put on the register and then immediately there was discussion about trying to figure out how to either take it off or develop part of the property, and then followed by, okay, let's just we'll modify the boundaries and then take it off, it might be worth a discussion for this commission to have to consider under that other criteria that the commission can actually initiate that themselves because of the unique circumstances in this particular case, health, and so on. So
the owner that's requesting removal is the same person that put it on the register?
Correct. And the basis of this is that she has had a recurrence of cancer that she had been previously treated for and is not working. And there's a couple different things here. First of all, her ability to to support herself, and then the second thing is that the land itself is sort of dragging her because there's a lot of maintenance issues that go along with it, and so on. So the land just sitting there isn't really a neutral value. It's and so the affidavit is part of that is to make a statement to the commission since she has a high degree of difficulty coming downtown on her own.
My question is that obviously she wants to sell the land so the structures can be torn down for redevelopment.
No.
The
structures are going to stay.
Okay. So I guess I'm confused as to why we decided that it would be better to just remove the entire thing as opposed to letting her split off the barn and tear down the barn and sell that off.
That was the last discussion we had.
I wasn't at that meeting, I apologize.
At the last meeting was just because we already gone through the council process of adjusting the boundaries from the, what was it, it was like 4 acres down to 1.4 acres, and then when she's had it for sale, and a number of people have approached it and got to the feasibility stage, I believe, and
right.
And all of them have concluded, and I think you've probably concluded the same thing, that when you add in all of the infrastructure improvements that go along with the platting requirement, mm-hmm. once you file that plat, you have to do all these different things.
Right.
It means that you actually need more lots than are in the portion that is outside of the historic boundary in order to make that even come close to penciling. And so the Mr. Williams broached the topic of, well, can I plat lots inside this historic area? Will that be a problem, or can we adjust the boundaries again to accomplish that? The other key issue that I alluded to in the staff report was because of the city's platting regulations, as I understand it, she can't. I mean, because the easiest thing would have been probably to subdivide the property into two parcels and sell their main land, but then you cannot. You have to wait 5 years, I think it is,
correct,
to do another plat. And so she's sort of presented with a one-shot deal. Got to get it all done at once. And
that's the bad thing about the city regulations right now is they sit for a short plat because they put all the onus on the person that's applying to subdivide the property to bring it up to speed, and that to me is unfair and an unfair burden because she has an asset that she could split off and sell, but to do that she's required to do storm drains and sidewalks and
this property has a lot of off-site improvement also. I mean, because it's the way it sits, the entirety of L Street needs to be improved, which is mm-hmm. a full 24-foot road surface with curb gutter sidewalk and the supporting utilities underneath, storm drainage, water main, and then the front edge of another 600 feet, 54-foot sidewalk, and the curb gutter sidewalk on the north end, so it's significant.
Yeah, and that's my gripe with the city code on that, because to me, you know, whoever develops that property that she's peeling off and selling should be the one, if, you know, further construction goes on those lots, that should be the individual that's responsible for the upgrades, not this person that's trying to subdivide it. To me, that's not fair. And that's, unfortunately, probably what they found out in their feasibility studies. I ran into the same thing on a property that I own.
Well, just to give you a little bit of background, the reason last meeting that we didn't entertain the idea of adjusting the boundary of the historic designation again was just because it wasn't clear how much land was required at that point, and there was a lot of frustration that we were hearing this again, mm-hmm. and it was just, it's sort of like, this is gonna, if this keeps changing, why don't we just remove the designation? Because the designation was as a homestead. It wasn't as a historic home and associated structures. It was for a homestead. Mm-hmm. And this homestead was quickly diminishing to basically a house and a garage
yeah.
and maybe an outbuilding. The outbuilding's in really bad shape, so it's not even clear whether or not it's whether it's repairable. And I think my own personal feeling is this gives the most amount of flexibility to the homeowner mm-hmm. in this situation, and at the same time, we can get a fresh start out of it, which I personally would like to see, because I feel like the designation, the original designation was for homestead.
Okay.
It wasn't for a historic home, and so this would be kind of hitting the reset button, and if that's what the property owner needs to do for her own mm-hmm. Livelihood, then that's the procedure that should occur.
Yeah, okay.
It's an unfortunate procedural thing, but it really is a procedural thing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And others may differ, but it's my feeling.
And when we first talked with her about this, she was talked to by several different parties, I think, and questioned about whether she really wanted to do this as the first homestead in the area. And there are reasons why we don't have other homesteads. This is probably just one of the many, but... she was very adamant to begin with, and things have just changed in her life so much that it's completely different. All right, could we get a recommendation that this go to public hearing on April 23rd?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Roth. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Public hearing April 23rd.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
We'll see you again.
Have a good day.
You too.
Appreciate your time.
Item 4B, for business, marketing events committee update, preservation month.
Send these that way.
Okay.
Send these this way. So I guess I'll be brief, and then I'll turn it over to my committee members if they want to talk. But we've been meeting and feverishly putting together a May package. I will say that our media and communications office is champing at the bit to get their hands on any sort of programming schedule that they should plan to make a calendar for and send out and make it pretty. So at this meeting, I'm hoping to get a buy-in from the commission on the historic preservation awards and also on the proposed events calendar. So I'm just going to say that the awards have changed slightly, mostly omissions from the last list that I handed out at the March 12th meeting. So basically here goes. Stewardship and preservation for the Old Town Dock Rehab. Stewardship and preservation for the Joy Building at UWT. Downtown Revitalization, Space Works, which I think is a great, cool idea to give an award for encouraging people to occupy underutilized spaces. Leadership and historic preservation, Sharon Winters, and I think most of you know Sharon, but she's been at the Center of Preservation in Tacoma for at least 15 years. First with the Landmarks Commission, eventually she served as its chair. When I came on, she was a member of the commission, and she was chairing the commission, and we went through one of our biggest ordinance overhauls in the history of the program, and back in 2005. The composition of the commission changed as a result of those code updates, and she ended up going on and founding Historic Tacoma, which we hear a lot from Historic Tacoma. Historic Tacoma with its, both of its, the events that have been put on by Historic Tacoma, the advocacy with schools and churches. I think that schools especially have been very, very fruitful. And that was a policy initiative that Sharon was working on back when she was on the commission. And so we now, thanks to Historic Tacoma, have an ongoing relationship with the school district that didn't exist before. And I think that things like that, the school district, of course, is one of the largest, probably the largest owner of historic buildings, registered or not registered, in the city. So at any rate, I think it's sort of speaks for itself, but and that would be the Achievement Preservation Board suggestion. Then the tentative list of events, first of all, throughout May, we're still working on the verbiage for this, but basically an Instagram campaign of some sort. If people seen the This Place Matters campaign that the National Trust did years ago, you have somebody photographing in front of your favorite place holding a card that says This Place Matters. We want to do the same sort of thing with Tacoma, because it's not going to say This Place Matters. It's going to say something pithy Tacoma-based.
And tear this down. Please know what I smell.
Fill this pothole. You should have thought twice before you put your home sped on the historic register.
We record our meetings. Actually, that reminds me of kind of a joke a little bit, which was that when the National Trust, if people follow these sorts of things, the National Trust went through a huge organizational shift in about a year, maybe 3 years ago, and it resulted in a lot of closures of the regional offices and things like that, because it was just during the recession all these things were happening. And so there was a whole bunch of pictures that went out of people holding signs that this place doesn't matter, you know, and those went all over preservationists when they get angry, boy. But at any rate, so something to that effect, and challenging the people who are interested in Tacoma and preservation to participate in that. Of course, that means that every single one of you, of course, will get yourself an Instagram account or somehow post onto, or you'll take pictures of yourselves and send them to me, and I will post them. And so it's the opportunity to be famous, famous-er. Then we have some other things here that are not our organization, but on May 2nd and 3rd, of course, is the Historic Homes Tour of the Historical Society. And when we do our calendar, we may cross-promote some of these things, so because that's a big one, and they always seem to kick off the Preservation Month. And so on May 6th, we won't put this on our calendar, but I would like everybody to mark their calendars if they can, that we will be presenting the Preservation Month Proclamation, or the mayor will be reading that. I think I said at the last meeting, it's also Bike Month. This time I've gotten the Bike Month people to pick the same night to do the proclamation, because they always get there before us. So we're going to do it on the same night. So, I mean, that'll be good, but also I think the commission should be aware that people are really into bicycling, and so they will have a showing there. So anybody we can get up, you know, you can make noise, you can clap, make noise, yell things from the audience, whatever, but we're trying to bring some energy and levity, so if you can make it, please. Their proclamation is going to have jokes in it, and I don't think ours is going to. But we'll eventually get there. On May 8th, the awards are going to be given at the reception, which is Thursday. This is going to be at B-Sharp Cafe. So we'll be announcing that, promoting that.
What time does that start?
Six. I think it was 6 to 8 is what we scheduled,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. I forgot to include any. This is just the general list for... then on May 10th, we're co-promoting this Tweed Ride, which is a Bike Month event also, but people will be wearing festooned with costumes of some, you know, maybe tweed, maybe not. But they'll be riding the Point Defiance Mason streetcar line from the Point Defiance streetcar station into downtown. So we're going to put historic images along the route. May 15th, and I don't know if anybody from Historic Tacoma can add to this, but there's a postcards event where you're going to be, Historic Tacoma is going to ask people to illustrate their favorite building or place in Tacoma on a postcard and then bring it to Rick and Jory's place down on Puyallup Avenue and pin them on a board, and then we exchange and mail them, I believe is the concept. Lynn Danino's doing that.
Yes. But I don't, Dan, do you know?
That's all I know as well. Yeah,
it's a sort of an art performance event.
Yes. So.
And a party.
Oh,
there you go.
Everything should be a party in the future. May 18th, this is not really firm at all, but there's a bicycle poker run that's going to be going along on as a part of Bike Month. This may get excised, but it's an outside group, the Women's Bicycle Polo Association, or the Ladies Bicycle Polo Association. But they're going to be using the Tacoma Makes Guard decks as the poker decks. And so we're trying to hammer out a historically meaningful route as well. But it's sort of, I'm talking to our office sustainability people who are then talking to the Bike Month or the Bike Polo people. And so we've got kind of a third degree of information. So I'm not sure if this is something we're going to include in the industry calendar or not. I'll see when they put it in their calendar, Bike Month, if we include it in ours. So. And then lastly, at May 31st at the Forum Bar, which is in the Olympus Hotel, the concept is a lecture on the body era of Whiskey Row in the Old City Hall Historic District in a bar, and I'm attempting to get to convince Michael Sullivan to give that lecture, and so. Other than they have anything else to add, but I guess the last thing I'll just say is that all I really need is if the commission's okay with this list, we'll go ahead and start, we'll finalize it, set it in the stone. The only thing here after this would be deletions, probably. So I'm done.
This looks great.
Yeah, I agree with it.
Yeah.
Is the idea that this would be released in a press release? I'm sorry.
These will be going, there will be a press release, social media blast, electronic blast. I think we'll have some printable materials in my mail. MCO will be doing all of the, we'll be handling the promo. And so that last column actually is suggested publicity in the events. Just like I said, I think once we get a calendar finalized, I mean, we'll stick it in all sorts of places, but there will be press releases.
Should I noticed that Walk Tacoma, you know, has their, I don't know if it's monthly or...
It's every other week.
Every other week,
yep.
That start up in April. So I don't know if we would want to engage in and, you know, include it in the list depending on whatever the walk is for May.
Absolutely. And we have, like Caroline Swope's going to be leading that walk on that first Wright Park one.
What happens
April.
In May?
Or, yeah, April.
It's April 3rd. Looks like.
Yeah. May, I've got the list.
Anyway, that's just maybe something that might, whether or not it's historical, I guess it would be important.
It was funny because I saw that exchange of emails with Gary, Historic Tacoma.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I must have fallen completely off the contact list for Downtown on the Go, because a couple years ago I did a tour for them, and when they were working on this, some of those tour maps that they had, they have that Jonah's the president of the Downtown on the Go. So obvious connection. But anyways, I realized that I must have fallen off any sort of contact or distribution list or something like that, because I had no idea what was going on. So
we'll get you back.
I'm trying to close that loop. I emailed Christina, but she was out of town, so. But hopefully, yeah, because I totally agree with that, if there's anything happening.
Yeah, and I'll send you the flyer or the Walk Tacoma stuff.
Okay.
Then we can kind of look at it and see if there's anything you want to distribute to everybody else relates to historic stuff. Ruben led one of our walks a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. It was raining.
Yeah.
It was raining. I had a raincoat on, and then my Walk Tacoma t-shirt on top of that. So.
Yeah.
And I also remember that that although I never think that I have anything to say, I went over time by about.
It was fantastic.
Are you saying you're the Seinfeld of historic preservation?
I don't know if I am or not. Seinfeld was a show about nothing, wasn't it?
Well, that's what I thought you said. You didn't have anything to say, so.
Offense taken. Wrong with that.
No, that's right. Are they based on those different districts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the walking maps.
Yeah,
but,
so will there be a walking map?
But there is some that corresponds to each of those districts.
But are they already set then for the...
They are.
Okay, so hopefully there's something that's relevant to us then.
Yeah, there's...
Okay,
be
great.
Anybody on the commission have anything else?
Yep, for the most part, they're all historic.
Okay.
I think we are done for today. Thank you very much.
Congrats on yourself. That's really nice.
Yeah, turn up like the